Where does the time go? Where does the time go, Rob? We have once again, for those of you who are watching the webcam, you're seeing this happen in real time, and you're seeing us hot swap our guests carefully. That's not the same as hot sheets, but anyhow.
Wait a minute. Family show? Come on, you know.
We have Tom Horn, who is the editor at large for AOPA Pilot Magazine and editor of Pilot's Turbine section of the magazine. Is that right, Tom?
That is correct, Amy.
But that's not why we have him here today.
No.
You
don't know why you're here? I love it. No, you have been flying airplanes that I want a chance to fly, and so I'm absolutely green with envy. I want to know more about the electric-engined aircraft that you've been crawling inside and all around recently,
electric
because
airplanes.
My heart is in the future, and I have taken a lot of flack on the AOPA Opinion Leaders blog about my love of electric airplanes.
Electric. Well, yeah. When it all started, I don't know, several years ago, and they were working on a prototype for Unique, and it was an ultralight.
Uh-huh.
And it's called the E-Spider.
I remember
And Tom Pagini, who's with Flight Design, was hired to generate the prototype, and he had a 27-horsepower electric motor on there. And I'd been dying to fly the thing and do videos and do a story on it. Finally, the opportunity came, and I went up there, and there it was. It's ultralight, and I got to remind you, one seat. So he gives me the sit-down because there's no dual, right? And I listened very carefully, and he led me through the whole thing and had an instrument panel that was kind of different. You know, it shows your state of charge, the state of the batteries, how much power you're using, and how much voltage you have left in the batteries. Very important. This is your, quote, fuel reserve, if you want to think of it that way. And so he went up and flew it around the patch to show me that the thing worked. And so I got in the thing, and now, you know what that's like? You know, you'd never flown this thing before. And now it's you, baby. You got to make it happen. So I did everything I was told in the sit-down and taxied the thing out. Now, I've flown a lot of ultralights, so I knew about the light wing loading thing and, you know, the control response, basically. And so I taxied out. And, you know, when you come to idle on the throttle, the thing quits. The engine quits.
Yeah, it's an electric, right?
Oh, yeah, it's like turning off a light switch. So I thought, well, you know, all right, I can deal with that. And then so full power, lined up, full power. And your takeoff speeds are really low. You know, maybe you're off the ground at 30, 40 knots easily and climbing away at, I think, in that airplane, it was called the E-Spider. And I think it was like 60 knots, and it would cruise at, that's probably about it, 60. So pretty soon I'm up there, and you know, there's not a lot of noise. The propeller makes noise. People say electric airplanes are totally silent, and not. The propeller still makes the noise. So I'm up there bouncing around, and I did go through a layer of clouds, but I could still see through the clouds. Okay, so I didn't need to pick up a clearance, but I couldn't anyway. We didn't have any comm radios or anything like that.
Well, what about the noise,
though? I think the statute of limitations has expired on that.
You're good. Your secret is safe here.
Yes, we have a filter.
Nobody else knows about
it. We have a filter. But you mentioned the noise. But there's no compression noise of a normal reciprocating engine. But
no.
You still hear, what, kind of a whine or buzz?
Think of a small vacuum cleaner. It's more like a like that. That's the motor noise. But the propeller is more like a fan noise. So it's I had the headset on, but you didn't really need it. You don't really need earplugs. I wore them anyway because, you know, they're talking to me. But
it's more like a glider then.
Yeah. And the good thing is once you get up there, you can shut it down just by going to idle. And because it's light wing loading and you don't weigh much, it's easy to soar.
Oh, that's nice.
So I got some good video, and it's out there on the web, on AOPA's website somewhere. If you search for it, eSpider, I think it'll come up. That was a good ride.
Yeah, but the future of electric airplanes, I mean, I think everybody believes we're going to have one of these days. Mm-hmm. But, of course, they still haven't quite got the battery technology worked out yet.
What's Pipistrel doing these days? Because they seem to believe that they do.
This is a very ecologically focused company. The building even is using solar and geothermal power.
Wow.
So I went over to Slovenia, which is the northernmost part of former Yugoslavia, and flew their Alpha Electro trainer. It's a two-seat electrically powered trainer. So the build quality is excellent. It's just like their Alpha Rotax powered two-seat LSA trainers. And the intention was to make this electric airplane LSA. It had a 60 kilowatt, 80 horsepower equivalent engine in it.
That's a lot bigger than the
Oh yeah, and doors and
nice.
And everything, and that was excellent. I mean, like I said, they have a grass runway there. Takeoff has a lot of thrust, accelerates great, climbs great. I was seeing 700,000 feet per minute initial rate of climb, and again, not loud at all. It's the propeller. You get up to altitude. You pull back the power to about, I don't know, 20, 30 kilowatts. That's on your instrument panel. And you'll get about 80 knots, which is pattern speed. And then it had full-span flaperons. You have a Johnson bar thing over here, like old Mooney or something. And that would put your flaps down. And on final, you're 55 knots, something like that. But the whole thing with the electrics there is it lasts an hour. The airplane is intended to only be used for pattern work. So that's what we did. And the guy I was with, Ned, I forget, Slovenian names. But anyway, he beat that field up. You know, just you can cob it up and it'll do 120, 130 is red line. And very comfortable, has a BRS chute in it. I felt completely at ease. Does it fly any differently? No. It's all the same stick and rudder things that you would do in a conventional airplane. Mm-hmm. It's just getting over this idea of electric power, which kind of goes away once you're doing the job of flying. I got to say, though, that you do end up looking at the gauge. You have a little symbolic battery. You know, like on an iPhone, you know, the vertical battery.
Oh, yeah.
And you can see the level go down, and you can see how much you've got left. It'll say in percentage. And so to have a fuel reserve, you should really be on the ground with 20%, power left in your reserve.
But how? So, and what did that translate to, say, in time, if you were training?
Useful training time there.
You mean for learning takeoffs and landing?
Well, if,
excellent. I was. That's all it's for. I mean, you can do 5-6 patterns easily on a charge, and the really neat thing is that the propeller blade, it's the cord is wider at the root down near the hub, so that when you come back on the power, and it goes to or closer to idle, it acts like a windmill. So it's like regenerating electricity.
They do have regenerator.
Yeah. So
I was
going to
ask you that. So you're getting back every time when you start downhill, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Just like a electric car.
Yeah.
You know, you step on the brakes or, you know, that sort of thing.
I drive a hybrid Toyota, and I have changed the routes I take because I can get 50 miles to the gallon if I go down and hit all the stoplights. Yeah. As it takes me a little longer, but it costs me less money than taking the freeway.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
So they say 5 trips around the pattern, but because of regenerative, you get enough electricity for another trip around the pattern. Then you land, pull out the batteries. It's like the total battery weight is like 275 pounds. Put in fresh batteries or plug it in for an hour and you're charged up for another hour. But, you know, I mean, to get up there, it was great. I had a great time to see them working with this kind of technology is, you know, it's really inspiring. They have a whole engineering department, a small company, Pipistrel.
Where do you think this is going? I mean, now Airbus Group has taken up the charge. Where do you think this stuff is going? Do you think, I mean, I still feel like their battery technology is the limiter.
It is.
I mean, certainly you saw that with the solar impulses now grounded in Hawaii because of battery damage.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. And the Dreamliner issue, lithium ion batteries is the highest battery technology we've got right now. But there's to get over the hump, to get to more than that. And I asked him, I said, when are we going to get to a four-place airplane that you can fly for 4 hours, go on a normal cross-country like in a Moni or Cherokee or Beechcraft, whatever. And he said, it's going to take a revolution in battery technology, and it's going to have to include superconductivity in order to get more power, longer time on it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's
led by cars, led by cell phones, and it'll trickle down, but not anytime soon. They just, you know, had this this English Channel crossing adventure between the Airbus, you know, and the Cree-Cree, and the Cree-Cree was air launched, but Airbus said they were the first, and on top of it all, Siemens, which makes the Alpha Electro's engine, said that they couldn't use it in the Alpha Electro, so Pipistrel was denied a chance to even do it, and they were set to do it like 3 days before the EFAN by Airbus, so. I mean, the whole thing is
I know.
All right.
Well,
no, we know that it's going to take an Elon Musk. It's going to take a real breakthrough in battery technology to make this ultra viable.
Yeah.
But the moment it does, I think people are going to jump on it right away.
I think so.
The engine technology is there. So tell us, Tom. Where can people find you so they can ask you more questions about this?
I'm hanging around the AOPA tent usually.
Or the big yellow tent down by the
flight
tent
with the 152s out front. Or there's a 172 and a Cub also. I'm there, and I'm also at the press area.
Excellent.
So between those two, that's where I'll be.
And they can read you in AOPA Pilot Magazine. Do you get into the flight training every now and again?
Not so much lately,
okay.
But I did back in the beginning. Yeah,
that's right. And online at aopa.org. Right?
You bet.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on.
It's been fun.
And giving us the real story behind the electric
It's
days.
As long as you get over the low wing loading thing, you know, where, you know, here comes the turbulence. Whoa, you know, you still have that, but
yeah. That's fantastic. Well, thanks again for being a guest on Attitude Adjustment. We are going to go to a break now. You guys have a great day.